living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
All righty, let's dive right into this thing. I mean, let's just hit it because I am so excited to be here. I am your host, Michael Storm. This is Toward Anarchy Live right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m., we get together and we do this thing where I try to explain to people, I try to get them to understand that they're already an anarchist. They just don't know it yet, that their entire life they live in anarchy. Everything they do, maybe not everything, but 99.9% of the things that you do, that I do, that we all do, every day we do without any regard for so-called authority or its opinion about what it is we're doing. And if we could just take that and apply it to everything. It comes up all the time, but it comes up in a lot of places for me simply because of economics. Economics will always put me in this position of talking about freedom of choice and freedom of association, because nobody argues about it really when it comes to economics. There are certain aspects of the economy that are controlled by the government and industry that cause people to focus on those. But in general, when it comes to it, most people agree with the statement, the idea that if I'm happy and the person that I'm trading with, selling something to, buying something from, they're happy with the exchange, that it's nobody else's business, that we're voluntary participants in this exchange. And I want that to be applied to everything that you do and everything that you think of. Apply economy to because economy is about reason, it's about logic, and it's about a reality. It's about doing what works best for you, and usually what works best for most people is going to be getting along. Even for someone like myself, who classically, I don't know, whatever, doesn't particularly care for people. I'm not a gatherings type person. It's going to take more than just an invitation to get me to come to your gathering. There's going to have to be a reason for me to come to the gathering. Some person or some event that requires some respect or acknowledgement to get me to come to your gathering, because I'm just not a people person. And there's no particular reason for it other than people vary so differently in all of these areas about political thought I don't want to have the conflict. We talked about this before on the show. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be. I've been watching all the Netflix comedy specials since I signed up for Netflix, and it's been over the last year or so that they've added all of these specials, and they've created all of these specials just specifically for their platform. And I end up watching like Bill Burr. And because he's just hilarious, funny guy, and Joe Rogan or Dave Chappelle, but a lot of the Bill Burr, the stuff like that, a lot of it is, and a lot of the humor anymore, especially right now, is kind of outrage. It's really I'm really angry. Whether it's left humor or right humor or sort of middle of the road humor, everybody's just angry at everybody else, and I don't think that that's helping. It doesn't seem to be doing any good. It's never done me any good, and so I'm trying to avoid it. I'm trying to avoid the negativity, and it's really tough on some of these issues and some of these things that we talk about, and particularly when you get into large groups of people who are drinking or partying or hanging out. So it's just a situation that I kind of try to avoid. So it's going to take more than that to get me to come to your to hang out with you. So I don't know. It's just it's got me thinking. Everything has me thinking all the time. It's just rushing thoughts through my head. It's amazing. I think about how much I don't know. It's humbling. How much I do not know. And then it's scary at the same time to think about how much I know in comparison to so many other people. It's really scary. If I know so little and can touch on so few things that are really truly important and only scratch the surface of these ideas in the time and effort that I'm able to put in, can you imagine just the other person, the other people who make no effort whatsoever? They don't have the capacity, the time, the will, don't want to make the effort to understand. It's kind of scary, and it explains why we have an authority problem, why we need to work toward anarchy, why we need to keep moving forward away from this idea that it's okay that a small group of people, whether they call themselves dictator or president or senator or congressman, elected official or tyrant, that they are this idea that they can control what everybody else does, it's antiquated. The notion is ridiculous. It was never a real thing in the first place. It was always a submission thing. You just do it. You go along to get along, and we're all guilty of it. All of us are. Even the ones that talk the most out there on the social media and on these people that on the right wing radio and sort of the angry voices that I'm talking about that can sometimes seem to come out there and seem to get to the forefront. I apologize if you tuned in to a show called Toward Anarchy and thought that I would be here screaming and hollering about how it's okay to be white and why don't they build a wall and, you know, all of these divisive issues that we should be angry and lighting cop cars on fire and marching on the streets. And no, you shouldn't. You shouldn't be wasting your time doing any of these things, wasting your time in anger and in hatred. You should be wasting your time in love and respect and figuring out how to get along every single day like you have. It's no big trick. Like I've said over and over again, there's no trick to this anarchy, this voluntarism, this libertarianism thing. You just have to practice it. You don't have to involve it doesn't take a learning curve. One of the things that has come up this week, somebody was telling me I had to watch this Larkin Rose video, and I don't mean to be condescending or dismissive of it at all. I completely understand why other people have sort of a Larkin Rose video in their arsenal of things to talk to other people about, but that's not me. If I want to talk to somebody about an idea, a philosophical position that I have, the last thing I'm going to do is appeal to authority, whether it's government authority or whether it is Larkin Rose authority. God bless the guy. He seems like a great dude, but I don't need him to clarify my position on the reality of this world, on anarchy, on libertarianism, on voluntarism. I don't need him to do that for me. I work all the time to be able to do that myself by simply just living and being that person that I am right here on this show. While this is a presentation, while I'm definitely sort of amped up on my coffee, I got my caffeine, and I'm putting on a show, and it's important that I make a presentation, there's nothing phony about who I am or the things that I say here. It's 100% real people, like my guest that's coming up today. We're going to have some fun. Ryan Butler coming up at 1:30, going to hang out with us for an hour and talk about photography, something that I personally am into, and something he's been a professional photographer in a previous life, not in his current life. He's a voluntarist, an anarchist, somebody that we have to ask the question, do you use the word anarchist? But also, I'm bringing him in because he has one of the largest Star Wars kit finder groups on Facebook. Actually, it is the largest Star Wars kit finder discussion group on social media on Facebook. It's sort of upwards of 10,000 members or something like that. I shared the link today. We'll talk about all that stuff coming up. But he's an expert. He's someone who is involved in this Star Wars cosplay thing. And of course, I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. I love the Star Wars stuff. I grew up on it. I'm still a fan to this day, but I'm not a fanboy. You've heard me say that before. So I'm not immersed in the stuff. So I'm going to bring in an expert to talk about somebody who does this, who makes and buys and sells and talks to people all over the world about the Star Wars cosplay thing. In fact, I'm going to ask him about a couple of costumes that he posted up there earlier just today. Or was it yesterday? I don't know. Just not so long ago that he posted up there that he has and was one of my favorite characters, which is the bike trooper. I think they very first appeared in Return of the Jedi in the forest on Endor there, the guys that drive the speeder bikes, those guys. I just always thought the uniform was so much cooler and so much more interesting, and the blaster was neater. It was a pistol instead of a rifle or a carbine like the stormtrooper, the regular stormtroopers carry. So I thought that was really cool that he had that up there, and I'm curious to know how much it costs to get into something like this, because it looked like that it was a really super fancy costume. But I'm bringing you real people with real ideas who are just doing their thing. And I don't even care about the politics. I posted a link to the show, and you should pop that thing up if you have the ability to do so, if you have some free hands, if you're not just working on the yard or the garden or whatever you got going on right now, doing the dishes, hanging out, doing the laundry, just hanging out with the wife. I don't know, maybe you have the game on. I can't believe I'm actually able to watch it. I have the Kansas City and the Lions game on one of the, on the, well, it's the little monitor that I just have sitting off here to the side that it has apps and stuff on it that I can connect in different ways that normally I shouldn't be able to watch it because I'm in Topeka, Kansas, and so I shouldn't be able to watch the Chiefs game on anything other than local TV. It's usually blacked out, so I'm surprised that it's on there. But it's on. I'm watching. I was kind of glad that game. I hadn't been joking about it the last few weeks when I mentioned that if I can watch the game, you can listen to the show. If I can do the show and watch the game, then you can listen to the show and watch the game at the same time. It's not impossible because I've been following along to do the thing on my phone with the sports and fantasy football, that's what it's called. See, I'm even really paying attention to it. I have multiple teams on multiple apps, and I told you I'd follow along peripherally to see if it was something that I enjoyed doing, like playing sort of Dungeons and Dragons, taking a few weeks out of my year, actually 17 weeks is not a few weeks, and then you count the playoffs and preseason and all that. But take some of this time. It's really a small investment. Certainly right now where I'm just watching. I've picked multiple teams to see if my guesswork on just names that I've heard or teams that are supposed to be good without doing any research to see if I can win. And I'm not doing really well. I guess I have one team out of four that's like 2-1 and is projected to win. But what I've seen is that it changes so quickly. Like, I can go into a game projected to win sort of 130 odd points or something like that to somebody else's 99 or 120 points based on the team that they've picked and the projected points that the players will make. And it could fluctuate. So, and it just doesn't seem to matter. Like, I can be ahead by a 30 point and it'll swing. Just one quarterback can change it all. A quarterback can get 25 or 30 points really easy, it seems like, on a lot of these scales. So it's fun to watch. And, of course, I'm in Kansas, but I was born in Colorado and spent most of my life in Colorado when I grew up watching the Broncos. So I'm supposed to hate Kansas City, right? That's supposed to be the thing. I'm supposed to hate Kansas City so that the Broncos are better, because the Broncos are sucking it and have for a while now. Since Peyton Manning left the team, really, they haven't been able to catch on. And, of course, with Kansas City here being the team, and then Mahomes being one of the big quarterbacks that are out there right now. We're really making plays and just a big up-and-coming quarterback and putting a lot of points up and really just making moves. He's a quarterback on my winningest team. So it's there, but the point was excuse me, let me get a drink. I'm so happy. I'm drinking my coffee as usual, cold coffee, iced coffee that I make myself so I can control the amount of sugar that's in it. Because it's a vanilla flavor. I got to have the flavor. I quit drinking soda. It's been like 3 weeks I haven't had a soda pop. There has none. And if you don't know what I mean by soda, that's pop or Coke or Pepsi or the doctor, whatever. I know that in different places in the world, they don't know what the word soda is. They don't associate it with pop, or they don't know the word pop, and they don't associate with soda. I'm talking about carbonated sugar beverages of the popular kind that I sucked down by the gallon for most of my life. I finally it broke the habit, and I'm so happy about it. And there's so much less sugar intake in my life. Go to towardanarchy.com and click on today's date. Click on everything. Click on the listen, and be sure to pull up this is the best way to listen. If you're not listening, click on the talk stream live link. But I have all these other ways to be able to listen. The archive is up to date. If you want to listen to past shows, last week's show with Brittany Schaefer is available on iTunes and iHeartRadio and Spotify. That archive is updated. And, of course, the archive is always commercial-free. There's always an archive at the RBM website. I encourage you, I plead with you to support the network. You don't have to support the show. As long as I'm able to do the show physically, I'll keep a show going. Even if I have to record the thing myself and post it everywhere, I'm not letting the show go again. I will continue to move forward with it. But I appreciate the network, and I think you should. The things that they're doing and the things that they're talking about and the information they're sharing and just the variety of topics that are being covered from one host to the next, it's just it's really refreshing to see it happening and to see it continuing to be successful. And it's all because of you, the listener, so I implore you to continue to do it. But at towardanarchy.com, go visit the chat room. You can find that under the contact information. You can always call into the show and talk with me. I don't ask people to call into the show. I take some calls, but I'm happy to just sit here and talk about my thing and not rely on it. It's always been kind of a crutch, and it depends on your view of where you learned your communication skills in radio, I guess. And of course, I started out as a radio DJ, as a rock and roll DJ. And you can't rely on callers because you learn right away that your listener base is much larger than your caller base, and that the caller base tends to be the same people over and over again. They want to participate. A lot of times they're people who want to talk and don't know their own venue, don't have their own ability to find a place to say their voice. And so they call in and they talk to personalities, and you learn that in radio real quick. And so you learn that your feedback from calls and things like that is not necessarily indicative of the people that are actually listening to what you're talking about. So I would rather just take the time and bring you a nice long conversation with somebody like Ryan Butler, who's coming up here in just about 10 minutes. And then I've got people booked out for more than the next month, including Kelly Patterson. I got to move my calendar. I finally got one of these things on my desk, but all of a sudden it's stuck and it doesn't want to move. Kelly Patterson next week. We're going to talk Cop Block. If you don't know Cop Block, you will when this is done, because it's an organization that I've always respected and supported, and ever since I found out about it. And the core idea, the value behind it, is one that we should always strive for, and that's accountability by any group that claims to be a market service, whether or not they're actually a service or not. Michael Howell, coming up on the 13th, we'll talk about the New World Order and ending the Fed and conspiracies and things like that. It's Anatomy of the Global Agenda is a book that he's written. We'll talk about that a little bit. Jeremy Harding, he's one of those angry blogger guys, but he's a friend of mine. And while I choose not to be the angry white guy, that doesn't mean that I don't hear and understand and respect or even believe some of the angry white guy voices that are out there, the angry black guy voices, whatever it is, that color, that skin, that categorization doesn't matter to me. It's what the people are talking about. That's what's important. That's the core of what should be important to you when you choose. It shouldn't be about the name of the show, whether it's Toward Anarchy or conservatism or libertarianism or whatever label they've given. You know, the label, you take it into account and you make the assessment based on the information, whether or not you open the bottle and let it out, whether you take a drink, whatever it is. Suck it down. Hopefully you're not sucking down the Kool-Aid. I started to get to this earlier, the point. I was posting things. Of course, I always am in the social media. And when I posted before the show today, I said, I'll try some words I'll try not to use in today's show. Trump, impeachment, Greta Thunberg, or climate change. Those were just a couple of them that I could think of off the top of my head. But of course, here I've already mentioned them, and it's bound to come up. I make it a point to leave some space to talk about these things. James Hetfield, one of my coolest things right now that I keep finding is on my phone. I have multiple social media accounts, and I'll log into some of them with a browser, and some of them with the app. And so I pull up the Google Chrome, I guess that's what it is. And there's always just these great articles I'm noticing all of a sudden. I have a new phone. I guess that's what brought it on. I got a new phone here just a week or so ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, because my other phone wasn't working right. And it wasn't a software thing. And this new phone has 8.1, the latest Android version on it, or one of the latest, and so it's a little bit different. And one of the things that's different is that Google actually controls the homepage and not the cellular provider, not the service provider. And it hadn't been that way in previous versions of Android. The provider determined what page you landed on to begin with, and now it doesn't. And so it pops up to this Google thing, this blank Google search page, and there's just all this cool information. I guess it's watching me and listening to everything I do, as it always is. You know, the sounds that your computer makes, or that Hulu makes, or that Netflix makes, or that Skype makes when you boot them up, your phone listens to those things. It actually knows when you're watching Netflix, because it can hear if it's anywhere near the audio. If your ear can hear it, your phone can probably hear it if your phone's around you. So it knows when you're watching Netflix, or it knows when you're watching Hulu or whatever. These things are too smart and too stupid at the same time. But I keep finding all these great stories, and James Hetfield is back in rehab, and that was a story that popped up on that page. And then another one that popped up there that I thought was really cool, because I mentioned this earlier, a couple weeks back or whatever, when I guess it's been a month now, literally a month to the day, that I signed up for Netflix again and started watching some of the specials. And I think that was the day that the Dave Chappelle a Netflix special, the new one, came out, Sticks and Stones. And it's funny, because there was an article on there on the Google thing from Showbiz, CheatSheet.com, in their Showbiz section, about Dave Chappelle. He probably doesn't even know that there's been all this conversation and talk about his show. He hasn't commented yet on it as of this writing, which was September 28th, yesterday. And he's made no public comment on it. And the fact is that for years he's talked about the fact that he doesn't really follow. Recently in 2017, in an interview with Hot 97, a hot playlist, pop hits radio station, the Half-Baked actor, one of the earliest things that most of us saw him in. I saw him on stage just before Half-Baked came out. Didn't know who he was. Knew he was hilarious, though. Had heard some of his jokes. He hosts the show, I guess. And he says that he doesn't keep up with what people say about him. I've talked about this before, where I don't either. I don't follow. I don't go back and look at the comments and things on the show. I don't need to know. It's not going to help me improve. What helps me improve is listening to myself and the words that I'm saying and making sure that what I'm saying is consistent with my values and that it's clear and that it comes across. So it's called air checking is what it's called. It's an old habit that it's a old good habit that you can get into as a broadcaster that you don't want to do, because trust me, if you're a good broadcaster, you're your own worst critic. No question about it. Every little nuance, every noise, every slip, every mispronunciation that you make, everything that you do kicks you in the sack every time you hear it. If you're a good broadcaster that cares about the message that you're, or just your presentation, but hopefully your presentation is about your message. So it's a fun thing. It's great to practice your communication. And I got to pull the game back up. The Chiefs were losing. Oh no, it looks like they tied it up. I picked the Lions in one. Some of the things in the fantasy stuff is you can pick sort of the one game and one game each week, and the people who pick the most games over the entire season out of just the 17, I guess, win a prize or whatever. I don't even know. I haven't paid any attention to that. I'm just having fun picking it and enjoying watching the competition. I really do. That's cool. The Lions are still winning. The Lions are hungry this year. Boy, it seems to me like they are one of those teams that they're perennially – yeah. See, there you go. I'll be listening to that later. I'll be like, God, man, can't you speak? What the hell's wrong with you? They are a team that has not done well. That everybody feels kind of sorry for them. They're like one of the respected but sucky teams, and it's been a long, long time, and they've had some great players over the years. Of course, Bernie Sanders, that have been amazing players that would have been some of the biggest players of all time if it hadn't been for the fact that they were stuck on one of the crappiest teams in the NFL. And I suppose they're coming out of Detroit. I mean, it's one of the worst cities, one of the worst managed cities in the world. It's no wonder at all that they wouldn't have a great football team or even a good football team. Ouch, big play right there. But they're hungry this year, and I picked them in one of my fantasy things to actually beat the Chiefs this week. So I'm like, all right, Mahomes has to put up all kinds of points. He's got to put up all these points, but they still have to lose. The fun of fantasy football. And it's great for me because while I am a Broncos fan, I do support my home team. I learned a long time ago, again, in this communications and radio thing, that I can't, as a presenter, I can't choose sides. I can't say my team. And then, of course, the logic right behind that is it's not my team. I'm not on the team. I'm not a member of the team. I need to speak about it in that third-party sense. I have to respect that I don't make any of the decisions on the team, that my supporting it doesn't influence it, that I shouldn't feel good or bad about the fact that these teams win or lose. And so I've kept that attitude for a very, very long time. And it's one of the few things that I'll correct people on when they say it. Your team. What do you mean your team? You play, you get paid? What are you talking about? Maintain objective view. Man, they caught it quick. Boy, they kicked up three, and now all of a sudden it's 13-13. What are you going to do? Football, man. That's all right, as long as Mahomes keeps putting up the points. I don't think I have any Detroit players on any of my picks on any of my fantasy teams. We got to go into commercial. Brian Butler is up next. We're going to talk about anarchy, photography, cosplay, Star Wars, nerd stuff. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Difference, would that help at all if I just did that, if I just threw out the scores? I have it on. That convince you that you can watch a little bit more? Kansas City and Detroit halftime tied 13-13. New England is beating Buffalo with about 36 seconds left to go in the second quarter. Raiders are up on top of the Colts. Chargers on top of the Dolphins so far. There you go. You got your update. What do you need it for? You can tune in and you can check out amazing things happening here as well as anywhere else in the world, except for, 99.9% 99.99999% of what's going on in the world, just scratching the surface here in our little corner with a guest today, Ryan Butler. And he's a friend of mine virtually on social media. I'll have to ask him if we've run into each other or not, since we come from the same playground. And I don't remember. I'm a few years removed again, and I've met a lot of people over the years. So I don't know if maybe we crossed paths before at a Weird Change event, or perhaps on the road marching on the streets for Occupy or anything like that. But he's one of these people that I've been friends with for a number of years and followed along with, and he's an interesting character to me because of the fact that he's a libertarian, voluntarist, and anarchist, if you will, to use that nasty, dirty word that has such a bad connotative meaning with it. He must mean he's out in the streets turning over cop cars. It couldn't have anything to do with he just believes in not being ruled or ruling over other people, as the word actually suggests. So just one of these people who's a real person that I want to know, and I think that I hope that you'll find some interest in him, and that we can create some kind of a synergy, some sort of connection between us and you, just talking about the things that are important to us. So it's my pleasure to introduce and thank you, Mr. Ryan Butler, for joining me, man. Thanks, brother, for hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to be on the show.
I appreciate it, man. I know that taking an hour out of my day can be a pain. And so I appreciate that people are willing to come and sacrifice it and just hang out and talk about some of my weirdness and be in my weirdness. Tell my listener a little something about yourself. Just give a little bit of background how it is that you could end up being punished being a guest here today.
Oh, man, there's a lot of background. I guess I've been a jack of all trades, done a lot of things over the years. I used to do photography for a while. Now I run one of the largest costuming groups on social media. I do work for one of the vendors that's involved in that. I do all sorts of things. I've recently started doing marketing consultation and website design for insurance agents. So kind of all over the place, man. Kind of all over the place.
That's awesome. That's great, because you're literally doing what I'm talking about all the time, and that's just doing your thing to get by, and you're doing it, I assume, with that voluntarist perspective. You don't tend to use the word anarchist. This comes up with all my guests, and I understand. I only even use the word kind of in the context of this show. It's part of the point, the reasoning behind the show, and calling it that is that I've done this for a lot of years, and I've talked about a lot of these same issues, and I've talked about them from the same perspective, but I haven't used that word, and it's because of that connotative meaning. So you try to avoid
right.
the word a little bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. And this goes to the news and a lot of things you see on TV, even in movies. The anarchist is always portrayed as the bad guy. You know, he's out there wearing a hoodie in a dark alley, you know, setting something on fire. And that is definitely not something that I represent, that I feel comfortable with. And I'm more of a voluntarist leaning, which is it's a word that was created by people who believe in the same ideology. Is that, you know, I don't necessarily want to go bother anybody else as long as nobody's bothering me. And that's the principle I live by. It's completely separate from government ideology and thinking. I don't need a king. I am my own king. And within my family, we are our own family structure. The rules apply in the house, don't apply to everybody else.
That's great. I'm glad that you added the family thing, because that's how my world is. My world is, you know, right here where I'm at and the people that are around me. And I have a modicum of control over my world. And so I have some rules in place, and I respect rules. I am an anarchist, a voluntarist, a voluntarist, depending on who you're asking the word, a libertarian,
right.
Little L, even Big L in that sense. I've been a member of the party. I've participated. I played the game a little bit here and there. But throughout all of those things, what I never was somebody who said that you had to do things my way, that the
right.
choice was always yours, particularly when it's not my property.
Exactly.
one of those big conversations. So philosophically, there's no difference, and that's the point I try to make. I try to get across the idea that everyone is an anarchist, whether they know it or not, especially the big L libertarians, because they don't even know that their party was formed by anarchists. That history is so far gone and so far removed from the party that it's become, that the people that are in it, they don't have any understanding of why the party was ever created in the first place. It's just become another political refuge and another place to go and throw away a vote. In my eyes, and I want people to understand that there is a connotative meaning to the word anarchy that people have to get over, and they have to understand that they are an anarchist living in anarchy every single day, with doing what they do with their friends, with their neighbors, with their loved ones, with their business partners, without consideration for the opinion of authority.
Right, and I agree with that absolutely. As a matter of fact, and I don't want to talk too much on it, but
no.
I did actually at one point, I was under the Ron Paul banner, and we tried that out, and I'm sure you know how that wound up.
Yeah.
After going through all that, that's kind of where I took a step back. That's where I decided, okay, I don't want to attach myself to this party. A lot of the way that it had been undermined, and a lot of the ways that, you know, how the campaign was run at the time, the Republicans kind of jumped in and took over anyway. And that's when I was like, you know, this really isn't for me. I don't want to be a part of that whole mess. And I just saw a lot of things I wasn't too happy about in it.
No, that's absolutely right, and I don't think there's anyone that's done more for anarchy than Ron Paul himself. I mean, certainly in the last 7 years since his last campaign for the presidency, because they did screw him, and it was obvious to anyone that was watching. I mean, I did it too. I played the game. I actually campaigned for Dr. Paul, and I went to the state Republican convention and stood
right
out in front of the convention in a hoodie and a jumpsuit that said FEMA on the back of it in shackles, and I didn't get elected. Go figure. But
right.
It was just an effort to play that game one more time, because I've always tried to play by the rules. But what I think you learn real quick when you accept reality is that the rules are written by the people who are playing the game. So if you don't play the game, then you don't have to follow the rules.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So photography, we were talking about this, and it was one of the main reasons that I wanted to talk to you, for years, because I watched you go from being I would call a professional photographer, somebody who's in the business making money doing it, to
right
really not doing anything with it at all, even though you still hold the page and locations and things like that on social media. But I mean, my thought was, it immediately brought to mind, are you not a professional anymore because it's just something that you've given up, or does it have something to do with the fact that everybody has a camera now?
You know, and I would say it does have a lot to do with that. Right around the time I got into photography, it seemed like there was an uptrend where anybody that went out and got a camera suddenly was a professional. Now, as I've talked to you about, I was mentored by a gentleman that was working over, and still does, actually. He still works for Playboy both locally and internationally. He's
oh,
also
cool.
been published in Maxim as well.
I guess I missed that part, but yeah.
Yeah, so the thing was, there was a lot of training. It was a few years, man. He'd go through and kind of critique every photo I would take and suggest how I could do it better, and just how to technically use the camera, aperture settings and all of that. And then it just got to the point where it seemed like anybody could pick up a camera and do it. And they were, and again, it's competition, obviously, but it was to the point where it's like they're undermining. There was some shady stuff going on in the photography world at the time, too, especially in the modeling industry. So I was just like, again, this is one of those things where I can use my time a lot better than I was doing photography. Because at the time, like I said, anybody, these were guys that went to clubs and raves and all that. And, you know, they wanted to get into photography, so they just picked up a camera. Some of them were even using iPhones at the time. And, you know, I spent all this time training and studying and being critiqued by a guy that I still, to this day, his work blows me away. He's a wonderful photographer. But I got to the point where it wasn't making sense to me to continue competing in a market that no longer valued the professional, you know. And for example, I went to a wedding last week, a best friend's wedding, actually, and they offered for me to be the photographer. I've actually been offered by a gentleman I know in Dallas who's an insurance agent to do his wedding as well. And I've declined on both. And the reason for that, and exactly what happened at the wedding, is that everybody shows up with their cell phone. Everybody's a photographer. The professional photographer has to fight for space at that wedding just to get the photos. Plus, at most weddings nowadays, everybody's handing out disposable cameras, and they use those for wedding photos as well. So it's become a very, very, very different market over the years, again, in which I feel anybody with a camera can now pick it up and, you know, without proper training or guidance, say, hey, you know, I'm a professional now, and that's being accepted as the norm anymore.
Right, that's what it is. It's a standard. It's a received standard by, you know, it's an acceptable standard by the people who are watching what is being produced. It's acceptable now to have what you or I or a professional would consider a crappy video or a still photography presentation because right. It just is. It's just a fact because of the fact that everybody has cameras. It's great that the cameras are getting better, and there's something that they will never have, the amateurs will never have, and I catch this all the time, they will never have that eye. They do not
right.
– they don't know how to frame a shot, how to shoot
yeah.
a video. They don't know what's important to concentrate on, and that's why, you know, video – this sort of secondhand cell phone video presentations of events lack because they don't have that eye. They don't know how to keep their eye on what's important.
Absolutely, and that was something that my mentor had taught me as well. He said, you know, and I learned on a, believe it or not, a point-and-shoot Nikon camera from back in the Ashton Kutcher advertising days. It was just one of those cameras you'd pick up for maybe $400 or $500. It didn't have any real settings. He trained me. He said, I know you don't have the equipment right now, and eventually I did. But he said, it's not the tool that matters. It's what's 6 inches behind that tool. And, of course, that was how he taught me photography. And eventually I did get a DSLR and learned all the settings and all of you know, the features behind that and really learned to operate that tool. But, again, it was already knowing how to frame, already knowing how to do my lighting. And I had done a wedding with a point-and-shoot camera, but he, again, had mentored me and taught me, here's your lighting setup, here's how to get the best shot, here's how to frame the shot. So I kind of had that knowledge going in that the camera wasn't the important thing. It was the person operating the camera and the tools and resources they brought to the table when they were doing those photo shoots that was more important.
Yeah, that's awesome because how old are you?
32 now, yeah.
Okay.
Almost 33.
When you said that, I was pretty certain to put you in your 30s there. I'm not a lot older than you, but I'm a generation older than you, and my generation didn't have digital cameras and didn't have even the higher quality preset digital componentry of
right.
film cameras. Yeah. That would do all the settings for you. They had them by the time I hit college. They were attempting to try to use them the first rudimentary fully digital cameras to try and capture sports, and you know they'd take forever between click and capture, but yeah,
right.
I learned I actually produced film in one of those smelly labs and did all the distance practice shots and things growing up because I really thought it was important to be able to shoot and capture my world around me, whether I ever used it for anybody else or if I just used it to remember my own history. And so I really appreciate the eye of someone who is actually trying to shoot a picture that says something as opposed to maybe possibly being in a place at a time and catching on film a shaky presentation and just everything that you see nowadays as what's supposed
yeah.
to pass for a good presentation.
Right.
Yeah. Now, it's any wonder where it will go from here. And I think that's the next question, because I've watched it happen in all forms of communication, and photography, videography is just another form of rudimentary of the broke down communication cycle between individuals. And and it goes through cycles. It goes through phases where some things will be acceptable, and then people turn back, and they, you know, it happens in every medium. Like right now, record sales are greater than CD sales for the first time ever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of my curiosity too, that perhaps film would make a comeback. And as we say that, I've got a little Yashica camera that was salvaged. It was on the free pile outside of where I live. And I picked the thing up. It was broken, wasn't running anymore. And I went online, found the parts and pieces for it. And I've actually got a little rangefinder sitting on my desk right here.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So, that's great.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was just in it's God's Storehouse is what it is here. It's just a secondhand store that I go through. I'm usually looking for toys and or electronics. And they've got a number of those DSLs, those early Ashton Kutcher pre-DSLRs. It's break time. We've got to go into a break. We will be right back on Toward Anarchy with my guest Ryan Butler, and we'll get into Star Wars cosplay.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
This show needs more rock stars. I have to book some more rock stars because producer Ken and I don't spend any time talking about the show or technicalities or anything like that during the breaks. We're chatting about Foghat and Humble Pie, and Humble Pie has got some tour dates coming up. We're just talking about the great rock and roll and the music, and I gotta spend some time adding some more cuts in there because there's just so many hundreds and hundreds of amazing songs that I love, and I want to hear them all before every single show, and I just want to hear them all, and I wish I could hear them all at the same time and get the feeling that I get from every single one of them, and it's just a weird thing. My guest is Ryan Butler today, and we've been talking about photography, so we're going to jump into cosplay. This is a Star Wars cosplay specifically, and this is a bit of a short segment, so we'll just have him touch on the idea. Tell us how you got involved and exactly what is cosplay?
Okay, well, that's an interesting question. So I've always been interested in Star Wars. I think I grew up on it. It was that escapism, you know, the light versus the dark, good versus evil, and good triumphing. So I've always been into it, and, you know, for years and years and years, I always thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could, you know, make my own armor, and I had no idea how to go about it, and I finally got in touch with some people that did know about it. I talked to them more about it, and then finally I got in contact with guys who actually made the kits, and went ahead and got one myself, built one, and it was just a really cool feeling because you get to go and do things and help other people. So there's different events that go on, visiting children's hospitals, doing autism walks and things like that, just really cool ways to give back to the community. So what cosplay is essentially is being able to portray a character that you love from film, comics, TV series, what have you. But what's really cool about the Star Wars community is they all seem to work together to give back to the community. They raise funds for charities, and that really excited me. But the thing was, is it was very hard at the time to find out information on how to get your own kit, how to build your own kit. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be a cool idea if there was a platform where people could all come together and actually find what they're looking for and find people that could help walk them through the building process, in which I created Kit Finders, never expecting it to be what it is today. Now we reach 60 different countries, and we've got 8,300 members currently, give or take a few. So it's definitely exploded, and it's helped a lot of people. So again, they can now build their own costumes and give back to the communities in which they reside in, which I always thought was a really cool thing.
That was really always something that I noticed. The 501st are the ones you hear about all the time, of course, because they're the biggest, the largest group of them worldwide. And if I guess maybe the listeners don't know, 501st is Darth Vader's regiment of stormtroopers. And we got to go into a break. That's an introduction. We'll get back into it after the top of the hour. We are with Ryan Butler right here on Toward Anarchy. You got to go to the website, towardanarchy.com, if you want to follow along and some of the links we shared, including a link to the Kit Finders website. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018.
My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.